Welcome to Modcast, a civilization podcast focused on modding.
Tony Keel,
Peter Steenbeck,
Bauta Snyders.
Guest co-host, Shen Tong. All right, Ken, did I tell you we had a... Shen, are you doing good?
I think so.
Oh, wait, can I still ask a question first?
Go ahead.
What are the tones of your name, just in case? I can always try to get it right.
His name is Shen Tong.
Yeah, but his tones, Shen... Yeah.
Martin is a nickname, English name. They call me English classes.
Yes, but you're a Chinese name.
Chinese name.
You're real name, so... The
tone is...
First, second...
Tone is my first name.
Yeah, I mean, Sheng Tiao.
You mean how to pronounce it?
The specific pronunciation
exactly
is trying to get
Shen
right.
Tong. Shen Tong.
Shen Tong.
Yeah.
First, second, second, first or something?
Yes. First is the surname. Second is the first name.
Is it? never mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's trying to get what where the pronunciation accentation is on.
No. Chinese has four tones, but I think that your family name is second tone, and first name is first tone, I think, but I'm just guessing. I'm not really good at recognizing.
Oh, you mean the four tones in Chinese? Yeah. Shen, surname is third tone. Tong is second tone.
Ah, okay. See, I told you I was bad at recognizing them. I'll try to get them right, but I can't promise.
Yeah, this all went over our heads. I mean,
Chinese is easily the most complicated language, in my opinion.
No. Navajo.
Navajo? Really?
Yeah. Yes, everyone considers that to be the world's hardest language to understand.
Oh, Chinese would be hard for me too.
I haven't heard of
really.
It.
Yeah, you know the famous Navajo code talkers. You know, in World War II.
Yeah, they used them to send messages.
Yeah, if it is the Navajo reservation.
Dude, I've never heard of them. That's an American thing, I think.
It is an American thing. Very American. Anyways, welcome to Modcast episode 39, I think. Today, we have been joined with Kenneth Impaler WRG Ferlin.
Bow, mortals.
Peter Maniac Steenbeke.
Good day, everyone.
Me, Tony Garrett Tadzaka Akil, hello. With our very special guest host, Shen St. Martin Tong.
Hello. I'm not Shen. Just call me... St. Martin could be fine, yeah.
St. Martin, we'll call you St. Martin, but he's not a saint. I love that.
St. Martin.
It's just a abbreviation of my Chinese name.
I get it now.
You know, I always thought it was, this guy must be like some kind of saint name.
Yeah, I thought it was St. Martin. Okay, it's St. Martin. Okay, I get it now. So now we know the mystery of your name. So, Ken, did I tell you I have wonderful news? Last night, we had a Keel family milestone. We had our first family house fire. It was great.
Oh, great. Did you burn down the kitchen? I mean...
No, I actually pulled the pin out of the fire extinguisher and was about to squeeze the handle when my friend got the fire to go out. It was a little grease fire on the stove.
Ah.
And he managed to blow it out, and I was about to spray the whole kitchen.
So what were you trying to fry?
I think it was my wife had went to grill the chicken for our Alfredo pasta, and she had put the spaghetti on high and walked away. And it got really, really, really bright red hot, and it lit the grease on fire that we didn't even know about.
Oh, there was grease under the... Yeah, someone had spilled that.
Yeah, and we didn't even know that thing lifted up. But, yeah, it was our first Keel family fire, and I went rather well.
Nice, nice.
So, it's an important... It brings the family together.
So you went out and bought some fire insurance the next day, I hope?
We already have that, actually. You have to have that, either way. I just don't want to have to go through the whole loss of all my worldly possessions thing, yeah. You know? That's kind of, you know, that would suck.
You remember to back up your mods on online to help.
Yeah, the mod is about the only thing I wouldn't lose. Yeah. So.
That's the most important thing. You can't lose your data.
All right. Let's see.
You can take my life, but not my computer.
And today in the news, we talk about our new official permanent co-host, mod support added for Soren's project on Replay Civ, and restarting of Tony's Second Revolution mod.
In the artist's sketchpad today, we discussed the heavy flamethrower units by War Kirby, and World War I experimental units by Snuffy Smith.
Today in the Modern Spotlight, we looked at the History of the Three Kingdoms mod by Shen S.T. Martin Tong and his team. Here's what's been making the news in the Civ community. Today we have a bunch of news in the modcast today. We have three items of news. And the first news, I just got in while you guys were chatting with ST Martin earlier, that Maniac is welcome to be the permanent...
Wait a minute, I thought he already was.
...co-host on the show. Would you like to be the permanent co-host? Can you make it?
Whoa, what a surprise.
You are now the official permanent.
All right. Last episode, I was just replacement.
Yeah, you were replacement. Now you are permanent.
Thank you, guys. I'm at home now.
You are, and you're at home.
You are stuck to us like glue now.
Yes, and we're going to use you up. Squeeze you dry of all your vital life. Drain it.
Good. So you did promise me a lot of female fans would throw themselves at my feet, right?
You will get twice as many female fans as each of us get thrown at our feet.
In paradise, yes. After you
good,
die.
Good, good.
After you give your life to us, you go to paradise.
You hadn't mentioned that yet.
Yes.
Really, it happens right now. You get twice as many groveling female fans as me and Tony each receive.
Yes.
That means you get -2.
No!
All right. So that's the first bit of news, and that's good news. The second bit of news is... we just recently talked to Soren, and we talked about his three beta test strategy games you can sign up for exclusively at WePlayCiv.com.
And by exclusively, we mean this is the only place the link is advertised, so anyone can actually just...
Yeah, you can actually just join the beta by being a WePlayCiv.com member and posting in the thread. So, just to remind you guys. Anyways... Apparently, who sent this? Did you send this to
News
or Peter?
I didn't send it, but I had some follow-up.
Vote it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, someone tell me about this mod support to his...
Well,
his
I've messed around
beta.
With it and actually played around with it, doing the mod thing. But basically, in the Strategy Station website, you can now go to a link for mods, and it basically opens up a whole page of XML files, which are just like modding Civilization IV, which allow you to mod some of the data values in the games. So I messed around and made a little Kingdoms mod that me and Soren and a couple other guys are playing right now. We're very close to being done, and my team's getting its ass kicked. After leading for most of the team, of course. It's like, oh, got ganged up on, you know.
Well, Soren wised up to your crap.
But yeah, you can actually do a fairly good amount of modifying this. I mean, you can adjust the phases of the game, the cards, da-da-da. You know, I actually went in and did some stuff where instead of getting production from your land every turn, there's a labor phase where you have to actually select it in order to make your land produce the food and hammers and commerce and everything.
Well, you know, Ken, you're kind of wasting your talent. You should be turning these little 2D games into 3D, you know, 3D interface games with your
No,
skills.
I'm actually going to go the other route. I'm starting a little project that I'm thinking, hoping Soren might like, in which I'm trying to get basically an engine which will allow you to do more modifying to the game just by XML, by basically encoding the rules of the game into the XML, not just having, you know, all these pre-programmed little values that you can just put numbers in.
That you have to muddle with in an SDK.
Well, you wouldn't have to use an SDK. This is the idea, is that the SDK, the code that's actually compiled will have the rules in it, and then you in the XML reference the rules. And they're used, so you don't actually have to program, but you can kind of design the game by using the really, really high-level mechanics. And you don't have to do any of the nitty-gritty.
That's interesting. So you're exposing a bit more, you know?
Yeah, that's the idea. Now, I think Soren had talked about, you know, maybe going with the Java programming for allow people to mod the games even more heavily. But I think this would be an interesting alternative to still let you use XML, which is easy, while still letting you do, you know, having more leverage, basically.
But you know what? I need to see more, you know, Visual C kind of programs that access games XMLs. With XML, you can create such easy editors, but I looked at CFC. None of the editors were ever really finished.
Well, the great editor that, you know, never got finished was the Lopez Civilized editor, and that thing was just a beautiful, beautiful editor.
And it doesn't work in BTS or anything.
Yeah, well, he stopped maintaining it because he
disappeared.
He had a baby.
What happened? I mean, did the baby eat him? And, like,
you should know better than tell me, Tony. You tell me.
I have two kids, and I'm still alive, sort of.
Yeah, I think he also got a job, too.
Oh, well, I don't have a job yet. I got two kids, no job. Yeah. Or, well, except for podcasts.
So it is a double whammy, job and kid. You know, it's like, you can't expect the guy to keep blogging after that.
You guys wouldn't believe how much money I got for doing this modcast.
I think I would.
I get paid, too?
Yes, you get paid half as much as I do.
Yes, yes.
All right, I'm sorry.
And only one-tenth what I do.
All right, I have a third piece of news, and this is going into the Tony Keel self-promotion department.
Which is by now almost an entire segment of the show.
Yeah.
It should be. I'll have a little theme song. It'll start right now. Doo-doo.
Next comes my self-promotion.
All right, but I am actually restarting my mod.
Which is called?
And I don't know if you knew this. It's called Second Revolution 3.0.
Hey, as long as we're doing shameless self-promotion, let's plug the Planetfall mod again.
Yes, Planetfall mod is way more done than my mod.
I was actually just playing a little bit of Smack myself, and I play my own personal mod, which is pretty heavily modified. They're just using the alpha text, but you can do actually quite a bit that way.
You think so? Well...
Well, you know, you actually should play Planetfall, Ken. You really should.
Yeah, I really should. I know, I know. It's. I'm sure it's better than even...
Just once. You will be blown away, really.
It's really fun. It's actually... It's a spiritual successor to Smack.
Oh, yes, I know. It's very...
I don't say that lightly.
Yeah, very accurate.
And it's not... It is as much to Smack as Civ 4 is to Civ 2. You know what I'm saying?
That's indeed a comparison I also made when people said it wasn't similar enough. No, it's the same story, but, you know, the gameplay is different, but it really isn't that much different than between Civ 4 or Civ 2. It still has the same...
Mac had a lot of big, big flaws in the gameplay. I mean, as great a game it was...
Those flaws are tied up, man. They really did good.
Yeah. So I'm saying...
It plays like Civ 4. It has a play pace similar to... A fast-paced Civ 4 game.
Yeah, and
it's got way more units.
You can't.
Smack was a little too slow in a lot of ways.
A little too slow. You could turn less than 100 turns. But, of course, there was lots of micromanagement because of formers and all kinds of...
Exactly.
Yeah. So I aim to remove lots of micromanagement. And you know.
Well, I like micromanagement. That's half my game nowadays.
I've tried to...
Yeah, well, once I actually learned the secret of it. So I just do it. It keeps me busy.
With me, it was the other way around. Once I was good at micromanagement, I stopped liking it. So, and then, as a consequence, I stopped liking Smack's gameplay.
Oh, well, I guess you're right. I mean, I play on Prince and Monarch and stuff, so micromanagement does you good there.
Anyway, you were talking about your mod.
I know your mod's name is the Second Revolution,
yeah, that's
right?
The one. So I'm restarting it.
I haven't played it.
There's no version for BTS. I stopped supporting it at Warlords, And the BTS version, I looked in the thread, it's almost 2 years I haven't worked on it.
Hmm.
Or I'd say, you know, it's been 2 years since I, like, did my main lump of work on it, you know?
And what's the story of your mods?
Yeah. You haven't touched it since you started doing Modcast.
I haven't touched it since I started doing Modcast. That's basically it.
How can you Modcast?
Now I'm. I know. Well, no, but I'm a modder. I'm right now, I have a great person who's motivating me to do it. I just needed. I need some helpers. I'm actually trying to build a team to help me do this. I sent out special thanks to this dude named Scavenger Type.
He wants to try to recruit me?
Well, I tried to recruit you. I just need someone to help me get through the I need one person who knows a bit of code and knows how to error test, who can muddle through error reports, and I need a 2D artist who will do like a nice logo and maybe help with interface and, you know, user interface stuff. And then basically anyone else who wants to help, I just need to have text files and people to write out what, you know.
Wikipedia copy.
Well, Wikipedia copy, yeah, I guess I could, but, you know, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Wikipedia. I'll need a Wikipedia copy.
It's probably hard to find Wikipedia articles about a fictitious future.
No, this one actually, I'm making the new version of Second Revolution 3.0 will actually have two scenarios instead of the original one. It'll have one set in 2006, and you fight against George Bush, and it'll have, like the original mod was, when I wrote it in 2005. I started the mod in, you know, late 2005.
And now the Texans will rebel against Obama?
Yeah, exactly. This one's going to be set a bit in the future against Obama, and I'm going to switch around, like, the rebels, maybe the Northwest might be like more on Obama's side instead of rebelling, and it'll be the anarcho-capitalists fighting.
Wouldn't you, they just be called the teabag faction?
So they'll be.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, the teabaggers. That Peter, do you know about the teabaggers in America?
I hear the term a lot, but I guess they're against healthcare. But how they got their name, I have no idea, really.
Do you know what teabagging means in America?
We lost Martin again.
Like in our youthful generation.
Is this a family friendly show?
Not anymore.
No, it isn't.
Well, teabagging involves dipping a certain body part into someone's mouth as a very mean prank, like a teabag.
Yeah. Okay. I got the idea. I know.
Yes, so when they did that up here on the news and stuff, we all laughed every time we see
it. Okay, so how did they get their name?
The Boston...
No one told
back
them.
When the country was founded, there was the famous Boston Tea Party in which tea was thrown Boston Harbor as a protest against taxation.
And so they made it... They wanted to make a catchy phrase, so they said, tea back here.
In the artist's sketchpad, we discuss graphics and artwork from the modding community.
Oh, that looks pretty sick, dude. Are you seeing this, Ken?
Oh, yeah, I've seen these. These are the Space Flamethrower Marines. They look very much... They remind me of the Firebats from StarCraft.
You know what these remind me of? Warhammer.
Okay, of course, Warhammer is a complete ripoff of StarCraft, so... And vice versa.
Yeah.
But instead of having like the flamethrowers on their wrists, it's like they have an actual flamethrower gun. But yeah, these look like freaking awesome.
Well, I kind of back.
Yes, they are. Who did these?
War Kirby.
Who did these?
Indeed, the original idea was to have a Firebat-like unit, and he took a model from a Warhammer. Indeed, you guessed it all right, and that was around 3,600 polygons, and he reduced it to 1,200. So, it's both beautiful and efficient. And
nice.
Indeed, it's used for a heavy flamethrower unit and
good.
A pencil.
Yeah.
So, you know, another opportunity to self-promote. And but but I figured I'd mention it on a Modcast because it's also useful for all kinds of other futuristic mods.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, Mars Now. Perhaps Dune Wars, I don't know. So, you know, it's yet another piece of art which can be used for every future mod which is made for Civ 4.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great stuff. And let's see here. I think we can do one more piece of art. I have experimental World War One units. Now, these are great. They are actually hilarious to look at.
Yeah.
If you see these, you know what I'm saying? These are funny.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how these things actually got used. Or
actually, that's the thing. The Tsar tank was only used once, I think, and then retired.
Mm.
So I wonder, you know, they're going to be used for a World War One mod. I wonder what stats, what strength Snuffersmith is going to give them. Because, you know...
Mm.
Yeah, there's one thing that looks like a wannabe helicopter... And then there's another thing that looks like a tank, but instead of, like, wheels, like, normal tank wheels, it has, like, uber-huge, like, bike wheels that are bigger than the tank. I don't know what the heck that thing's supposed to be.
I guess to roll over rough terrain, but, you know, like these huge mecha units or something.
I guess, but it looks like it didn't really work out like they planned.
Indeed. Otherwise, we'd be seeing a lot more of them.
Yeah.
I think the first one, actually... Could work, I don't know. It's just an observation platform. So, but the second one, indeed, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, that one is definitely... These are some weird units, and they're by our good friend, Snafu Smith. Wherever in the world they send him, in our country's defense, or offense, or whatever.
Mostly offense.
Yeah, they're no longer made in Iraq.
Is that where he is right now, still there? Is he come back yet? I don't know.
Wasn't he a guy who always puts Mate in Iraq on his... Yeah,
he does, because he's been modding in Iraq. He's our modcast Iraq war correspondent.
Oh, it says the Far East in his location. Maybe he's in China. That's possible.
Afghanistan is kind of on the border of East and West.
Okay. So far East. Far East, but you know.
That's Middle East. That's the whole... But, yep. That's,
Yeah, and he should definitely be a modeler when he...
Good stuff, Snafu. You should send us a message saying, hey, how you doing, man? Just send us a message.
Yeah, and come onto the show.
Yeah, we get to have you back on. It's all good.
Modding Spotlight, where we interview and talk about modders and what they do in the Civ community.
All right, Shen. You are our first guest from China, and we're really happy to have you on the show. Where are you exactly from in China?
It's a big place, you know.
Yeah, it is a big place.
I am right now in Beijing. Beijing.
Is that where you grew up, or are you there, you know,
No, that's not where I was born. I was born in a smaller city called Jinan.
Ah. And,
what... Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
That means it's like the middle of the night where you are right now?
It's early morning, I was going to say.
Yeah, it's about 5 a.m.
Early morning on the previous day.
No, on the next day, Ken.
Next day, okay.
Monday morning, I think.
Oh, Monday morning, okay.
That's why I thanked him at the beginning for coming up so early. But what do you do out there? I mean, besides modding, of course. What's your day job?
My day job? I gotta say, I want to live a life making games.
Really? That's.
Yeah.
Is that so? Are you working for a game company, or are you trying to get in with one, or what?
I used to work for a game company just a little while ago, but now I'm just trying to start a game company and have some more time playing video games.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, so I always have to balance your playing games versus making game time.
Exactly. And sometimes...
Only those two things are important. Yeah. No, nothing else involved.
Yeah. Well, there is a distant third, which is women. So...
No, that's not very distant.
Well, for candidates.
Yeah, but Chinese, it's actually a very distant third, but they prefer it to be not so distant.
Yes, you have that whole women shortage thing.
Yeah.
Big mistake, you know.
Oh, God. It's off topic.
Okay, good point.
I knew, Ken, you were going to be the first one to start the weird talk now.
Wait a minute. What do you mean you started it, Tony? It was clearly you.
It was your fault this time, not me.
Okay, I took it to another level.
Okay,
yeah,
well, okay. I started it friendly, and you ended it mean. You're a mean person.
Okay, okay. I apologize.
What mod is it you've been working on so hard lately? Go tell us about it a little bit.
The mod's name is the History of Three Kingdoms. The short form is HOTK. It's a mod, a historical mod, based on a history age in China called the Three Kingdoms. It's quite ancient, and that age lasts about 100 years. And in that age, there are lots of well-known figures, heroes of all kinds. And there is a famous novel called The Romance of Three Kingdoms. And we Chinese people, I always love to read that novel and admire the heroes in that book and that age. So that mod is that's the mod that's about. And there are some quite nice gameplay innovations, I think, in that mod. So it's both historical and quite different to play.
Well, yeah. I think that China really does has something to celebrate about. I mean, when it comes down to it, there's no other civilization, we can use that word, that has lasted so long and has been so powerful over so many years. Everyone's risen and fallen except for China.
Yeah, we don't even understand the languages and our ancestors used to write books. It's very hard to read.
Oh, really?
Sometimes a pain in the ass. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Even novel is using the ancient Chinese to write. And it takes a boy to learn several months and to grasp the language and read the novel.
Yeah. Now, there have been other games like outside of Civ that have focused on the same period in China. I mean, like some old DOS games that were
Romance
really
of the Three Kingdoms. Romance.
Yes,
of the
exactly. The names
and they're regularly updated with a new version.
Yeah.
And it's
yes.
almost like I think the comparable thing for Westerners would be something like a little bit of like King Arthur and the whole medieval period, though. It's, of course, a lot more historically accurate, romance, because we have real documentation. It's not just a legend. But, I mean, as far as kind of the mythology surrounding it and the consciousness, you know, it's a somewhat similar time period.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You know, medieval. And it was the unification of these three kingdoms at the time period that actually really solidified the modern core China you know, kingdom. It was unified from that point on. Is that how it works? Or
no, that was before. That was the Han dynasty.
Okay, the Han dynasty.
That one broke up, and that was when the Three Kingdoms period was.
Ah, so they've been.
But it
okay.
ended with it reunifying again. Was that it?
Yes, the third or fourth time.
What about?
It's not the first time unification.
What
yet.
About?
Yes.
Qin or I can't remember how to say Qin.
Qi.
Isn't he? Is he from this time period or this legend?
Ah,
Qin. I think that's
Qin.
Qin,
isn't it?
Qin Shi Huang.
Yeah.
Qin Shi Huang.
Yeah, yeah.
Qin Shi Huang is before that.
Oh,
age.
Okay. So he's in the first unification.
Yeah, he is the first emperor, a few hundred years older than that age.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's when Han started, and that when 400 years later it fell apart, and that's the Three Kingdoms period.
Wow, that's awesome! I actually am getting a grasp of this now.
So, in your scenario, I mean your mod, is it kind of a set piece battle where you've got a predefined map of China, the pre-placed civilization, then you can choose to play as either of the Three Kingdoms? Is that how it works?
Yeah, we have a few scenarios and a few different maps, pre-made maps and scenarios players can choose to play, about three different sizes, three maps, and we also have a random map.
Oh.
Yeah, random map. But the random map is no different map script, so it's not a China map script. We haven't done that yet. It's just a native C4 map script.
Oh, you're thinking of perhaps including one of those map scripts that can create a map that somewhat approximates a certain geographic area? I've seen these map scripts that do They kind of create a mock world, so it's kind of the world, but a little...
I had one for Second Revolution.
Yeah, so maybe that would be an interesting thing.
We've got a guy named Chiron, K-H-Y-R-O-N. He is from China, too, and he's a Python guy.
He
promised me to make that map script, but it's a few months now, so... Let's give him some more time.
Well, this is how I know I get people to squeeze requests out of me, is just tell them to bug you once every week. So I usually tell them if they want me to do work, I tell them to bug me once a week until I do it. Once a week's not too much to be annoying, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Enough to remind you.
It doesn't get to the point where I, like, okay, block you from my internet, you know. It's like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
block, you know. Stop bestering me every hour.
I've gotten some of it done. I mean, some stuff I just never did. I mean, unfortunately. I don't know.
Okay, St. Martin, a big feature of your mod is the heroes.
Yeah.
Can I ask, did you draw any inspiration from Fall from Heaven, either how to do it or exactly how not to do it? Did you decide to do it explicitly differently or,
Yeah. I think Fall from Heaven is a great mod. The heroes in it is very inspirational, and that's exactly why we have made H.O.T.K.'s heroes the way it is. It wants to be a bit different from them. Yeah, right.
Nice.
And the other inspiration is KOEI's Romance of Three Kingdoms. They have heroes in that game too. So we know we have to include heroes in our mod.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big part.
Isn't it? You can form legions in which you can attach a number of units to the leader. And it was striking to me that was a completely different approach than a Fall from Heaven. Yeah, now I'm saying it myself. And there you have one unit which can kill an entire civilization by itself. So
yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, personally, I found that interesting because, it's less a big deal if you lose a hero. In Fall from Heaven, your whole game can be ruined if you lose your hero. Mm-hmm. But I think in Romance of the Three Kingdoms, the feature is more balanced. Yeah, polished.
See, heroes are born every day, you know?
Yes, indeed. They can even die of old age in History of the Three Kingdoms. Am I correct?
Really?
Yeah.
So these heroes, though, they're kind of a bit like your generals. You attach the rank and file cannon fodder guys that get attached to them, and then they go out and kick butt.
Yes, our heroes are like that. Generals, yeah, exactly. It's generals. We mean to lead people into battle. It's not, they're not always the great warriors themselves. So that's part of the reason we didn't do it the Fall from Heaven way.
Yeah, and China has a whole history of the generals at that time period being really, really important. I mean, you've got the art of war and all these things that focused on the great generals being really the commanders. They didn't go out there and kick butt themselves personally. Cause this is obviously a much more advanced time period than that. So it's kind of like a Caesar or something like that.
Yeah, we don't have a very prominent dominant religion, and people have to have something to admire. To idolize, that's the great people in Chinese history, the ancestors. The generals and strategists and leaders are part of them. In this age, there are several figures, several heroes. They're essentially the most popular ones in the whole nation, in our people's subconscious mind. I can say that, yeah.
You can say everything.
So yeah.
Do you have any representation for the actual emperor himself, of the kingdoms, as a unit in the game? So you actually kind of get like a regicide thing where it's like you kill the king, you wipe out the enemy empire, that kind of thing?
We have an emperor unit which you can capture, because you can capture and put them in the capital as a specialist. It means you support the emperor. In fact, it's you control the emperor, because that age is the end of Han Dynasty. Han Dynasty is not entirely eliminated yet, but it's going to be. So the emperor is very weak, but it's still
so he's a puppet.
Yeah, puppet. Yes, puppet, exactly. Mm. And we have another thing called leader succession, because leaders are sometimes heroes too. It means they are units in the battlefield which can defeat and sometimes capture. If you capture an enemy leader hero, you can imprison him, either trade him back to his own country or execute him, which triggers
execute
him. Yeah, which triggers a leader succession, a leader change.
That's awesome.
If there is no available leaders for that faction, the faction will promote a random new hero and make him a random new leader, giving him random traits and personalities and etc., and make him the new leader of the faction. It doesn't.
That reminds me of Total War. They do that in Total War.
And Heroes of Might and Magic had a whole series of games where you had these character guys who were running around with their little armies. So it seems to draw on a lot of inspirations in other earlier games.
Yeah.
With the whole Chinese flavor on top of it, too.
Heroes of Might and Magic to me, right? I played that a lot when I was a child.
Yeah, my favorite was number 3, actually.
3 was good.
Yeah, I played that a lot of... too much times, maybe.
Well, that's why we're here, you know. We're the uber nerds of the world gathered here in this dorky show to make fun of Ken's gayness every day, every week, so...
Yes, and make fun of Tony's projections, too. Okay, well, let's come back to the thing you mentioned earlier of the, since there's no dominant religion in China, how did you modify the religion aspect of civilization to fit in China?
That is not exactly my original idea. It was XXHE, the guy who makes scenarios. And he is the one who actually started all this mod. And I was just somebody who joined him after he started it and making scenarios. And he got the idea of belief instead of religion. What is belief? Belief is a dominant form of ideologies back then, such as unification and reviving the Han Dynasty, rebellion and division, which means you capture a city and you declare yourself a little bit of a noble, or no, a little bit of a world over that little restricted place. Such as
kind of?
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't want to unify China itself.
We use the beliefs
you want to, decide.
To replace the relations.
So these beliefs actually have real meanings within the context of the game. They're not just, kind of arbitrary labels,
We hope so, but it's not very deep right now. The beliefs have a different effect, such as the religion building, the belief buildings, the monasteries, which are replaced by government buildings. They have different effects for different beliefs, and they have different diplomatic modifiers. For example, if you support the emperor and you adopt the belief of revival, then the other factions which wants the emperor gone, the Han Dynasty destroyed, will hate you very much. Mm. And, for example, if you are the guy who wants to unificate China, and the other guys who have the same belief, they will not like you very much. Instead, they will see you as a competitor. So their diplomatic modifier is not very high.
So it's a little bit like smack in the sense of how you would have those social engineering choices, and your relationship with other people would matter a whole lot based on having that. Whereas in Civ 4, it's like, same religion, not same religion. It helped, but it wasn't really that big. So you're saying it's a lot bigger influence, and it's a lot more logical in not just, we are the same or we are different, therefore that determines everything. It's, do our interests actually logically coincide, or are they opposing each other, and you can have different things that are centered a little bit more close together and things are a little bit further apart. Is that how it's going?
Yeah, and in the future we hope to add something else to this belief thing, a belief victory. There's victory conditions for each belief, but that's the future plan. I haven't realized yet, so no need to talk about that very much.
Oh, it's interesting to talk about future plans. Perhaps will you be able to have a diplomatic victory if only revival players, for instance, survive on the map? Or what are the plans? Or are they not concrete yet?
Sorry, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what the question is.
I'm sorry. For instance, if only revival players survive on the map, will you get then a diplomatic victory or so? Are you aiming for those kinds of victories?
Yeah. For example, revival players, their victory condition can be, of course, support the Emperor and kill the other unification and rebelling guys and make everybody on the map believe in revival and that kind of thing. We haven't actually decided on the final design yet, so it's just a thought.
Well, perhaps that could open up a possibility of cooperative victories. So, I mean, if everyone wants to return the Han Dynasty, but you're the one who has the support of the Emperor, then you've won, but the other guys have kind of cooperated with your win. So, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting change from the, only one guy can win.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've always liked things where multiple people could win.
Let me ask some follow-up questions. Let me ask a question. What kind of a player do you think would be most interested in this kind of mod, Cheng?
Of course, players who have played previous games on this period of time, and players who have read novels, and players who have interest in Chinese history or culture or whatever, or they just want to have some fun with the really well-made mod.
Let me ask you this. If I play your mod, is it have the same spirit of Civilization, the core game, where it teaches me about the history of this period so I can understand what you guys are so amazed with? Is there little text bubbles or historical notes in the Civilopedia?
There are lots of them. There are heroes, factions, technologies, and units have their Civilopedia entries. So you can get, if you want to read them, you can get pretty much from playing this mod about the historical knowledge, I'm sure about that.
So there's educational value in this mod. There's some teachers in America who use Civ in their history classes. I've heard of it.
Yeah. What I like to do when I'm making the Wikipedia entries for anything in my mod is go to Wikipedia, hit Control-A, Control-C, and put that right in the XML file. It's like, okay, bam.
Then they got everything, I guess. They got the Wikipedia. But anyways, I'm really, really glad that you came on, and this is an excellent mod, and I think that I'm going to go play it tonight, actually. I have it set to download as soon as the show's over. So, thank you.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at ThePolycast or email us at ThePolycast@gmail.com.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast,
or Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at ThePolycast.net.
This episode's been a lot of fun. Have you guys had fun this episode?
Ooh.
I'd say this episode, yeah. It's been a great success. Shen, you have been amazing guest.
Sure.
I've always hoped to have a guest from Asia, and today was the day I got one. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And it's really nice that your connection didn't start crapping out until after we had done all the section about your mod.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because as soon as we were done with it, you were like, boom, drop, boom, drop.
Yeah.
Bam, bam.
Oh. That's amazing.
It's called Skype. Skype, let's say, quote unquote, sucks.
I don't know. What the hell is that?
Hey, you get what you pay for.
Then why are we using it?
So, but it's free. Skype is free.
Yeah, it's probably my problem. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little bit too much fun. I'm glad that you came and represented your mod and your culture, and it was a lot of fun. I've got to play that mod tonight. Listeners, we're back on the roll.
By roll, you mean we've successfully finished another episode well behind schedule.
Well, no, our new schedule is different than the old
okay.
one.
We've put our schedule to match our actual format.
Yeah, our schedule. We make an episode, you guys will get it.
Can I read a limerick?
That's what I was thinking. Limericks. Limericks are, by definition, a little dirty.
Yeah, I know. A handsome young mother named Fred wooed female fans in every tread. But once they laid eyes on his special expansion, they preferred to play Scrabble instead.
Quite indirect graffiti. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. All right, well, we'll see you guys in some undisclosed period of time in a soon-to-be-disclosed location. Well, we're going to record in a couple more weeks, actually, because I have another guest lined up. We're going to record whenever we have a guest.
So, everyone, if you want to come on Modcast, tell us.
Yeah, come on the show. Don't be afraid. Everyone has fun.
We have candy. So,
bye.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Record date, November 22nd, 2009. Civilization 4, Warlords Beyond the Sword sound clips, copyright, Take 2 Interactive. Copyright 2009, Civilized Communications at civcom.net.
In the Modern Spotlight, we look at the Romance of the Three Kingdoms mod by...
No.
History.
You don't want to get sued.
That name is...
Oh, okay.
Already.
So history of the Three Kingdoms. Is that it?